Good evening. Welcome tonight. We're glad to have you here. We have Dr. Brother Walter Jackson bringing the messages this week, and the Coven family, Brother Charles and Bonnie, and we're glad to have them here to lead us this week as we turn our hearts towards the Lord. Appreciate you folks attending. I encourage you to be inviting folks. We have lunch meetings Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we also have evening meals, 6 o'clock, and then worship here in the sanctuary at 7. And so we encourage you to come, bring folks with you. No excuses that I have to cook before I come, because we'll have food, and it's free. It's free, so you get to come and on our dime. And so Lord's provided. We also ask you if you have a desire to help clean up, also to serve on those meals, please indicate at the information desk. There are some sign-up sheets, and we just encourage you, if that's where your heart might be, that you sign up and give us a little bit of help there. So God bless you. Let me open us in prayer, and then I believe Brother Charles will lead us. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we thank you for being present through this day. We thank you, Father, that you're holy and you're righteous. You have given us a sight of who you are through the person of Christ Jesus. And Lord God, through his work of death and resurrection, you have provided the way of salvation for us. And thank you, Father, that when we do trust you, when you've prompted our hearts to rely upon you, you send your Holy Spirit to come and to dwell within each believer so that we might know you better, and that, Lord, we might serve you through gifts you've bestowed, and, Lord God, to walk a path that would honor you through our days. Now, Father, stir our hearts. Draw us close to you, to one another. Help us, Father, to participate in this time of worship, lifting our voices, lifting our hearts, opening our eyes, and Lord God, being impacted by your presence and your truth. We entrust these things to your care. In the powerful name of our Savior Jesus, amen. God bless.
Where else would I go? Amen. Amen. Thankful for the revival choir coming out this afternoon. They forewent their nap, and they came and rehearsed and did an amazing job. We're glad you're here tonight. Will you stand and let's greet one another around us this evening? Sing together. Enter his gates.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. Rejoice, for he has made me glad. And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. And I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Are you glad in the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Bonnie's going to teach us the chorus of a song we're going to learn this week called Rejoice. As we rejoice in the Lord for the good things that he has done, we rejoice in who he is. Bonnie, will you sing the chorus for us?
With each breath he's given, praise the Lord. In these times we live in, we will praise the Lord. Join our hearts.
and be anxious for nothing. Pray for all that you need. Come with a song of thanksgiving and lay your requests at His feet.
His peace will fall upon us to guard our hearts and minds. In Christ who reigns eternal, Shepherd of our lives,
with each breath.
I didn't know if I was going to remember to tell them to sit down, but I did. So, okay, we're going to do something tonight that I have never done before, but since I'm at home and I know that you guys are friendly, I figured this would be a good shot, a good place to try it out. So I'm going to share a home video with you, okay? Now, this is raw footage. A couple of my kids don't have probably as much clothing on as you should have for a presentation, but everything's legal. We've got a diaper baby and we got that sort of thing. But show of hands, a couple weeks ago we had the solar eclipse, right? Show of hands, who of you got to see the total solar eclipse? You kind of made the trek and got to see the total solar eclipse. All right, so a handful of us, yeah. So I'm going to set this clip up. This video is just our reaction, my family's reaction to the solar eclipse, okay? And so we had, 7 years ago, when we had the partial total eclipse, or the partial eclipse through Texas, Bonnie and I got really interested and excited about the 2024 total eclipse. And so Bonnie, 7 years ago, bought the glasses online, and for 7 years, they've been sitting in the one drawer. And let me just tell you what a miracle it is at my house to keep something for 7 years and the kids did not destroy it. So that was a miracle in and of itself. But so for 7 years, we've been really excited about the total eclipse. And in fact, we kind of had envisioned we were going to be going to Fredericksburg. My parents were out there. And then a couple years ago, they moved. And we're like, oh, man, what's the, you're messing up our eclipse plans. But but they moved to the DFW area, and so we decided to go up there and kind of enjoy it at their place. But the day of, as a lot of Texas experienced, cloud cover everywhere. And so we had kind of set out in the morning. Dad was grilling some burgers, and we thought, like, well, if the sun peeks through the clouds, that would be amazing. But right now it's not looking great. And then about 8 minutes before it was time for the eclipse to happen, I mean, the sky just opens up, and it was amazing. And as you will hear in just a moment, we were really taken aback by how incredible it was. And so that's setting the scene for what you're going to see now. If you didn't get to see that, I'm not doing this to rub it in. It was awesome. But what you'll see on the video, as you can imagine, it doesn't look like that in real life. It looks way better. But you get the idea. You'll understand. So if we can roll that, Houston.
Wow.
Oh.
I can see it. It's
moving. Wow. Wow. That is amazing. Oh. Wow. That is absolutely amazing.
It's in the middle of the day.
Wow.
It's dark.
Oh, man. That is incredible.
As we looked up at the sky and we witnessed something divine, it really did something inside of me. And the Lord, I think, showed me and taught me several things through that experience. And I know everybody's experience with that is a little bit different, and that's okay. That's not the point. But let me tell you, the difference between 99.9 solar eclipse and 100 is two entirely different experiences. You're watching it. 97 is like, oh wow, it's getting dark. 98, 99, 99.9, you're like, oh, it's really cool. And then at 100, God flips a switch. And even though we had read up, we had seen videos, we had done everything in preparation for the day, nothing could prepare us for that experience and witnessing that firsthand. And I probably watched that video the next 3 days about 100 times, because it was this emotional experience for us, but it was this divine spiritual moment that we got to experience and we're so grateful for. But I was telling Bonnie, so it's not just that the sky goes dark. We had 360-degree sunsets around the entire horizon. There's these things called Bailey's beads that begin to sparkle. There's these red prominences that are shooting off, the solar flares off of the sun that look like ruby coming off of the around the moon. And then the solar corona is this halo that lights up the brightest white that it was stunning. And it just, I could not believe what I was looking at. But the thing that I took away from that is 99.9 and 100 is different. As we were kind of rehashing it on the drive home, I told Bonnie, I said, it was the closest thing in my life that I feel like was seeing the face of God. Like it was that miraculous. And that is not even a comparison to what it will be like when we stand before the Lord. And as we were going home, I told her, I said, my life is narrated in songs and lyrics, and so some of yours the same way. But very quickly after I saw that, something inside of me kind of understood we can be thinking about heaven. A lot of what Brother Walter was talking about this morning just really spoke to me about this, but we can imagine what heaven's going to be like. We can read about it. We can talk about it. We can dream about it. We can imagine what it might be like to see the Lord face to face. But y'all, even 99.9, is completely different. When we see the Lord face to face, the switch will be flipped, and it is going to blow us away. The beauty of the Lord, we aren't even prepared to understand or to imagine. And I told her, I said, the lyric that came to my mind shortly thereafter was, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." That's it. It's a foretaste of glory divine. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Paul said to the church in Corinth, he said, "We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." He said, "None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit." So, church, as good as you think God is, as amazing as you think heaven might be, as gracious and beautiful as you think the Lord is, we cannot even comprehend it. We cannot even conceive it. But there's going to come a day and there's going to come a time where we go from 99.9 to 100 and we see the Lord of glory in all of His majesty and His beauty. And it's going to change us. And we're going to have that for eternity, those of us who are in Christ. And so what an important week this is for us. But man, be encouraged. That's what awaits us. If you're in Christ, that's what awaits us. And so thank you for indulging me and watching my home videos. But may you be encouraged that, man, whatever we think that the Lord and being with the Lord is going to be like, it's going to be a million times greater. And so we're going to continue singing together. Choir, let's stand.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Jesus of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And this is my story, this is my song. Filled with His goodness, my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long, 'cause this is my story.
Let's pray. Father, as we humble our heart before you, we thank you. A great privilege to gather together with your people. Father, to praise your name and to worship you together. Lord, to attune our hearts and our ears that we might receive that which you desire to pour into our lives through music, through the spoken word, through prayers, and even opportunities to give. Lord God, tonight may this offering that is presented bring back fruit, Lord, that will lift up and exalt your name. And Lord God, continue the furtherance of your kingdom's work here in this world. We pray, thanking you for the privilege to know you and to give. And these things we ask as you continue to be in our midst tonight. Draw us to you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you will, one moment as you give, if you will make sure if you're giving to the church tonight, put it in a designated envelope for church. Everything else is going to the teams. Okay? Designate to the church tonight if you're going to give to your church. The rest will go to the team. Thank you.
Bonnie and I are going to share a song with you. It was written by a guy, Shane Bernard, and a friend of his Shane tells the story. He says he got the lyrics from his buddy. And one of those weeks that he received a phone call that, you know, at some point in our lives we all get those really, really hard phone calls. And this one, I happened to be with some cancer in his family and some tough diagnosis, and a lot of you know what that's about and how that goes. But he said he got some lyrics from his friend, and it was just a chorus. And he said, I didn't see anything else on the lyric page except for this one phrase. It says, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. We just sang a song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And that's the same sentiment. And it's, God, we don't know what you're doing. You're God, we're not. But we know what you've done. We can look back and see that you've been faithful. And so I hope that this is an encouragement to you. And maybe you're going through something or facing something, you and your family, that it's hard to make much sense of right now. But you can say, God, I have no idea what you're up to, what you're doing, but I know what you've done, and I trust you. I know that he's in control. Hey, church, there's nothing that's hanging in the balance with the Lord. Okay? He's in control, and he's faithful. So be encouraged as we sing this song for you.
My eyes. on Jesus Christ, I'll say that it is well. Oh, I know.
Okay, so I'm going to show you my eclipse video real quick. I took videos too, yeah. I tell you what, and I didn't even want to go to see it. I thought, oh, this is going to be a headache. And it was a lot cooler than I expected, and I'm glad we went. What I did not like was the traffic coming home. I'll have to repent if I go further than that, so I won't even say anything else. We were just outside of Waco, where our son has some property. Our middle son has some property. And I'm not kidding you, from just before Calvert through College Station was a parking lot on Highway 6. A mind-numbing parking lot. Several of you have asked about our older son, Landon, so I wanted to give you an update. Thank you so much, first of all. You're praying for him. Well, that's bright coming. It's like a spotlight right there. Let me move over. That's still there. Still cannot swallow. That's the downside of it. But he's doing better. He's gaining some weight. One thing that was very interesting. Lisa's not here today because she had her 45th high school reunion last night in Arlington. And thank you. That's pretty amazing. Modern technology. And so she had, before this, arranged, because we really wanted to do this, got a hold of the CEO of the hospital in Arlington, where they first took Landon, because they really saved his life there by getting the breathing tube down his throat. And so she had called and made arrangements with the CEO to meet the CEO, because we wanted to meet the doctor that actually did this. And so they said, yes, we'd love to do that. In fact, we want to do a video. We want to interview him as a PR thing for the hospital. And we thought, well, we can't go there yet. We'd sure love to meet. And so Landon was up for it. We didn't know if he'd want to do that. He does not like attention. None of that kind of stuff. But he said, yeah. So they went, and there were about 30 medical people there. And they spent about 2 hours just visiting and talking. And the doctor said, very literally, if I can say this without choking up, but because we knew this once he got to Plano. So he went to Arlington first, and then they got the breathing tube in, and then they care flighted him to Plano. And when he got to Plano, they didn't think he'd live. Well, they told Lisa and Landon there at Arlington, had he been 5 minutes further away, he would not have lived. 5 minutes. Because 5 minutes after that doctor got that breathing tube down his throat, the swelling began. And his throat would have absolutely swollen completely shut because of the plastic and that sort of thing. So they were thrilled to see him. And once all the legal stuff that'll have to work out works out, they want to have him come back. They want to do a video interview with him. They also want to do that Plano. The doctors, in fact, are writing up in medical journals because this, again, was something they'd never seen before. They had no idea what to do. And so it's still a miracle. We don't know what God's going to do yet. We know what he's done. He's still alive. He's gaining some weight. And so that's good. So I still have the feeding tube, still can't swallow. And so we're still praying for that. And again, just want to thank you so very much for your prayers for him as well. So that lets you know about that and keep you up to date there. There was a man who was sitting in his easy chair watching television. His wife was in the kitchen behind him. And the wife said to her husband, is spaghetti okay with you for dinner? And she didn't hear anything. And so she walked to the edge of the kitchen, living room. And she said again, just a little bit louder, is spaghetti okay with you for dinner? She still didn't hear anything. She walked right up behind his recliner, a little bit frustrated now, a little louder voice, is spaghetti okay with you for dinner? At which point the husband turned around with a little bit of an exasperated look on his face and said, for the third time, yes. Sometimes we hear things or don't hear things, and sometimes we hear things and don't pay attention to them. About 3 weeks before I left DeKalb, Texas, to come here to be the director of missions, had a man by the name of Ray Harden come up to me on a Wednesday night. Now, I'd been there 11 years. Ray, and I can't remember exactly, but Ray was somewhere between 89 and 91. I mean, you know, that age, but good guy. Ray was a good guy. He never missed a service. Sunday school, he was there, Sunday school lesson in hand, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday night prayer meetings, every month senior adult meeting. We had men's meetings. He was there. Any other activities, Ray was always there. And he had been a member of the church for several decades before I got there. I was there 11 years. Much like Brother Robert, in my preaching as a pastor, no matter where I was preaching, every message came to an explanation of the gospel and the need for salvation. And we, like you, had an invitation every service. 11 years, week in, week out, Ray Harden never missed a service. About 3 weeks before I was to leave, he came to me on Wednesday night and he said, I need to talk to you. He said, I just want you to know that the other night I realized I didn't have my life right with the Lord. And his wife had died 2 or 3 years before this. He said, So I got down on my knees beside my bed and I got my life right with Christ. And I said, okay, now Ray, because I'm thinking back now over 11 years, right? And knowing he'd been in the church 20, 30 years before that. Ray, are you telling me that for the first time in your life, you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior? He said, yes. He was the last person I baptized at that church. He died within a year after that. He almost missed heaven after hearing the message of salvation over and over for literally decades. I want you to look with me tonight in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and think with me about the importance of listening. The importance of listening. So if you would, find Matthew 13 and stand, please. And we're going to look at more verses than this, but I just want to read the first nine. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Father, thank you again for the privilege of being in this place tonight and worshiping you. Great is your faithfulness. Father, you have won. And we may not know what tomorrow holds, but we do know you're there already, and so we can trust you in that. Now, Father, I pray tonight, impress upon our hearts through your Holy Spirit the importance of listening. And help us to examine ourselves to see where we really are with you. So if there's someone in this place tonight that realizes maybe they've been listening but not hearing, Lord, maybe tonight would be their night. And they're ready to say yes and make it certain. So I pray that you would move among us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. We're going to look at the soil tonight, but actually we're going to look at the Word. The Word. Most of the time when this is preached, we preach about the soil being the condition of the heart. But I want us to think about the Word, the seed that we see. And what we find is that Jesus says of the first that he talks about, I will call the stolen Word. Look again at verse 4. He says that some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Now, Jesus gives the explanation beginning with verse 18 when he begins to talk about it a little bit later. And here's what he says. "Hear then the parable of the sower," verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road." So there's an aspect of the stolen word. Now, how does the word get stolen away? Now, we're camping in Matthew 13, but if you want to keep up with me, we're going to jump around a bit. So the first spot we're going to go to is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 4. Don't feel like you have to do this if you don't want to. I'll read them, obviously. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How does the word get stolen away? When it is preached and someone is sitting there, maybe you're sitting there and you're just not getting it, or maybe you're not paying attention or sleeping, you know, whatever it may be going on, and the devil comes and steals away the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, here's what Paul writes. "And even if our gospel is veiled," is hidden, "it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." See, there's a spiritual enemy at work in this world, and his desire is to keep people from getting the truth of God. The devil is a thief and a liar. We know that because that's what Jesus said about him, right? So when there's an opportunity for the life-changing message of the gospel, for the truth of God's word to impact a life, and you aren't really listening or you just don't quite understand, he's going to do his best to swoop in somehow and steal away that message to prevent you from letting God use his word to change your life. He does this by distracting you. He does this by confusing you. He does this by whispering to you. He'll whisper things like, "You're not good enough." He'll whisper things like, "God could never forgive you for what you've done. You'll never be accepted." Things of that nature. That sermon's not for you. It's for old so-and-so. They're the ones that really need to be paying attention. Don't believe these fairy tales. It's what a preacher's supposed to talk about. Any way that he can to steal away the moment to keep the word of God from penetrating your heart. Listen, he's going to do it. I don't know if it's tomorrow night or Tuesday night. The sermons are all jumbled up now. But tomorrow night or Tuesday night, we're going to talk more really directly about this. About the spiritual battle that we live in. And that's what the enemy is about doing. And so Jesus explained that in verse 19. The devil comes in and steals. He will steal away the word of God from you. That's what he does. So sometimes when there's preaching, there comes a stolen word. Second thing Jesus talked about was the shallow word. Verses 5 and 6 again. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, how do we see this? Who's this? Well, go back into the Old Testament, book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. This is a fascinating and powerful passage to me because, well, Stephen, this is where I need to stay on the manuscript because I'm about to chase a rabbit. I don't need to chase a rabbit, so let me stay with my notes. Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning of verse 30. "But as for you, son of man," now don't let that confuse you. You know, Jesus was called the son of man, but this was also a nickname that the Lord had for Ezekiel. He's talking to Ezekiel. "But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses, speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, 'Come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord.' They come to you as people come, and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain." Now listen to this. "Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as surely it will, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst." See, this is when church just gets to be entertaining to a person. This is when attending church is just what you're supposed to do. This is the person who, after the service, tells the pastor on the way out the door, "Good talk, preacher." I don't know about you, but that one used to bother me the most. I know I'm not Billy Graham or Adrian Rogers, but that was more than a talk. "Good talk, preacher." It's the difference between having a church life and then having the real life. I one time after a, not the church in DeKalb, but another church where I was pastor, had a deacon meeting right after an evening service. And so I just preached. And you just preaching the word, and we get into deacon meeting, and one of the deacons literally says something about the sermon, and then he says this, "But now we have some real life issues to discuss." I sat there stunned. He was dead serious. Now we got to deal with some real stuff. That's preaching, you know, that's preaching. Verses 20 and 21, Jesus explained this. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. The shallow word, there's no depth in the heart of the person. There's no opportunity for the word of God to take root and so get deep down into you and change your life. Remember, I've said that before here. I don't think we need deeper Bible study. I think what we need is to let what we already know go deeper into us. That's when the change happens. Well, if you don't allow the word of God to go deep into you and it stays shallow, it's not going to be able to change your life. And so like he said about Ezekiel, then they go on their merry way. And because something difficult comes up or some other distraction comes up, we forget everything and go right on our merry way doing our own thing. So church is entertaining. It's good to be seen by others. You know, it's good to keep up the image. Show up at church. But real life is what we have to deal with outside the walls the rest of the week. That's the person where the shallow word is. Then Jesus talks about the suffocated word. The suffocated word. Verse 7. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Now, what is it that suffocates the word from getting into us and from our really listening and grabbing hold of it? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, here's what we find. Verse 15. 1 John 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is from the Father. Is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lusts. Whether it's worry or it's entertainment desires or it's greed or it's the want for stuff or it's the desire to fit in with certain groups or climbing the corporate ladder, the socioeconomic status and looking for power and popularity, it suffocates what God is wanting to say to you and get you to understand. And so because of that, the message gets lost. It gets choked out. The message gets choked out by all the other things. Jesus said in verse 22, the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so instead of the word of God directing your life, it's suffocated by the things that the devil wants to use to control your life. Suffocates. Presses it out. Well, then, of course, the good news is there's the solid word. Verse 8, Jesus said, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Acts chapter 17, we see a great description of this. The Apostle Paul, on one of his journeys, he's been rescued out and sent away. And Acts chapter 17, beginning verse 10, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, where they just were, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Therefore, see, because they really got into it, many of them believed, along with a number of prominent Greek women and men. The solid word, it gets in and you go after it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The person that listens to the word of God and accepts it and lets it get deep into their heart and change their life, and your life becomes a life that God uses for His glory. That's the producing of fruit for Him. And don't get comparative and worry about 100 or 60 or 30. Just produce fruit. Right? Now, verse 23 is where Jesus talks about this one, obviously. The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil. This is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So, all right, that's, I'm sure everybody here is familiar with the parable, right? Now, so what then can we do to make sure we're verse 8 people? That our heart, first of all, is good soil, and that we accept the seed, right? We accept the seed. Let me share with you several things that really kind of moving it forward. First of all is this. In John chapter 14, verse 26, look what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit and His ministry. John 14, 26. But the Helper, capital H, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. You want your heart to be good soil and you want to accept good seed, you've got to rely upon the Holy Spirit. That's got to be the starting point. Henry Blackaby, what wonderful Experiencing God study, said, the Bible is the only book where every time you open it, you have the opportunity to come face to face with the author. So you rely upon the Holy Spirit. Now, as a believer, here's what that means. That means when we sit down, whether it's personal study time at home or devotional reading at home, or you're just reading through the Bible or whatever it is, when you come to Sunday school, when you come into worship, when you go to small group, when you're on Wednesday night, Sunday night, whenever, revival, whatever it may be, you first of all, you begin by praying and asking the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you today. You come in saying, God, I need a word. Yeah, maybe I saw old so-and-so who really needs to hear it, but you deal with, God, I need to hear a word from you. I need your Holy Spirit to speak to me. You pray and you ask, God, speak. Now, and I've really struggled with how to say this. And in fact, I asked Robert about it last Monday night. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, crowd this size, it's probable. So what are you to do? Your first step is to pray and say to God, God, I want to believe. Through your Holy Spirit, help me believe. Because see, sometimes people approach this as, well, when I can see it, then I'll believe it. Friend, that's backwards. See, with Christianity, with living for the Lord, it's, Lord, I believe, then He'll help you see it. So that's why we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. First of all, you come to know Jesus, commit your life to Jesus, and then say, Lord, Holy Spirit of God, help me begin to see. Help my heart to be good soil. I want the seed to sow in me fruit. So rely upon the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's a step of faith. It's trust. It's belief. Then the Holy Spirit begins to open up your ability to understand the things of God and His Word. And it's a continual thing. We never get to the point where we get it all. I'm going to hit a verse about that in a moment. We're always to be teachable. When I went to pastor, the second church I pastored, the minister of music was taking me around town to the nursing homes. And we went into one nursing home one day, and another one of the pastors was coming out. He's an older guy. And he's friendly and met him and walked, left. And as we were walking away, Billy said to me, he's really already retired. He just hadn't told the church yet. He seemed a nice enough guy to me. A couple of years after that, I was leading the back when we used to have assist teams. Some of y'all remember those assist teams? And the association would have a team for each kind of ministry of churches. And I was the Sunday school assist team leader. So what that meant was, you know, I helped with Sunday schools, but set up a big Sunday school conference. And we did it regionally, so we had a couple of other associations involved. And so I was making calls to pastors about coming. And I called this particular pastor. Hey, called his name. We got to count on you. See you there? Nah, he said, there's not really anything else they can teach me. And what Billy said to me rang back in my mind. Oh, dude, you really have already retired. You just haven't left the church yet, have you? Hey, folks, we never learn it all. We never know it all. We're always in need of the Holy Spirit teaching us and speaking to us. So when you sit down with the Word of God, you start out with, Holy Spirit of God, open my mind, open my heart, open my ears, open my eyes so that you might teach me today. Second thing goes right along with that. Luke chapter 24. Boy, I love this scene and this lesson in Scripture. You listen and you learn with your heart, not your head. Now, let me say that again. You listen and you learn with your heart, not with your head. The scene is after the resurrection, these two guys are walking home, the road to Emmaus. Remember that? They come up to evidently an intersection, and another man, it's Jesus, joins them, walking along. And they're talking about everything that's gone on. And he says to them, what are you guys talking about? Now, if they'd have been in Texas, they would have said to him, you're not from around here, are you? They said, are you the only one who has not heard about these things, about this Jesus of Nazareth, great in power of God and working in deeds, and how he was crucified, and now they say he's risen from the dead? And they're just, you know, you don't know this? You don't know this? And so verse 30. Let's go back up to verse 25. He said to them, oh, foolish men and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken? Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Now look at what he says next. Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Don't ever think that the Old Testament's not worth reading. It's all leading to Jesus. That scarlet thread of redemption that it's called, where in every book of the Bible is leading and pointing to Jesus. And so Jesus explains everything about himself. Talk about a theology class. Man, what a day that was. Verse 28, they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. What an experience. All of that's just incredible. That's fantastic. But look at what it says next. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Notice that they did not say, wasn't your head spinning as he was explaining this stuff? Wasn't your head just going back and forth with Old Testament? No. They said, weren't our hearts burning within us? Folks, we learn about Jesus and we grow in Jesus and his word with our heart, not our head. There are times in life when you've got to, and again, I may preach this sermon this week. I don't know yet, but it's a good one too. But we've got to allow our heart to overrule our head. That's like that song they sang. And you on the back pew back over there, you've been through it wondering, oh no, my family's been through it since December the 16th. We don't know what's going to happen. We can't see what's ahead. And that's when the times when we've got to let the word of God that we have put in our heart overrule what our head is trying to tell us. I'm a worrier by nature. Get it from my mom. I blame her. And so there are times when I have real battles. It typically happens when I lay down in bed at night. What is up with that? How can I be sitting at 9 o'clock on the couch watching TV, just brush my teeth, lay down horizontal, and so there's this battle that rages. And boy, during that time, December 16th on, boy, you talk about a raging battle. And there are times when you got to go back to what the heart is saying. Oh, but you know, Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Man, that's where we got. That's why when you sit down with the Word of God, for it to take root in your life, it's got to get to your heart, beyond your head. There are people that are going to miss heaven by that aspect of things because they think. Ray Harden, for 40 or 50 years, thought. And he almost missed heaven until one night it got to his heart. He had it in his head, but it finally got to his heart. It's so important to understand the life of faith is not allowing the heart, is allowing the heart to override the head. It's not just information and facts and figures and names and places. It's listening with the heart and allowing the heart to be impacted. We looked a moment ago at Acts chapter 17, the Berean believers who were more noble-minded. Here's the point with that one. Seek truth from the right places and the right people. I can't stress that enough. Study personally. Don't just be spoon-fed. For the first time in America, this is just one of the problems. For the first time in America, the polls are saying there are fewer people who profess to believe in God than those who don't believe in God. First time ever in American history where more people now say they don't believe in God than do. And among those that do, and among those that are in church, we unfortunately are just by across the board biblically illiterate. One Sunday morning, they're in DeKalb. I opened up by saying, I want you to turn this morning with me to Hezekiah chapter 4. Hezekiah chapter 4. And then I went on with comments like that. There's a problem in America today that there, even though we have churches that are full, we have people that don't know the Bible, and we have churches that'll put on fanfare and bring in the crowds, but they're about this deep, and that's all there is to it. And there are people that will not bring a Bible to church with them and will not read the Bible alone, though they've got six of them on the coffee table. And the proof of that is some of you are still looking for Hezekiah. There's no book of Hezekiah. There are people going. Just spoon-fed. Just whatever comes out of his mouth, we'll take it. I'm not saying you can't trust Brother Robert. I'm just saying you got to dig for yourself. And the people that you listen to and watch on TV or whatever, the radio and whatever it may be, make sure they're solid. Because there's some bad stuff out there. Study personally. Don't just simply be spoon-fed. If you want your heart to be good soil, to be able to receive the good word, you've got to be in it on a regular basis. And then the last one, Philippians chapter 3. I referenced this a moment ago. This is one of my favorite verses, little passages in all the New Testament, Philippians chapter 3. And I've preached this here before too. Stay humble and stay teachable. Stay humble and stay teachable. Paul, in chapter 3, is giving somewhat of his resume. And then he's saying, though, that all that was big about me, and Paul was Mr. Everything in the Pharisaical world, right? He was the up-and-coming leader of the Pharisees. He was Pharisee of the Year, cover of Pharisee magazine. I mean, you know, he was the man in Pharisaical life. And then he met Jesus. And now he starts saying, all of that is worth nothing. I just want more of Jesus. And so, beginning in verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. We've got to just stop right there. Listen, if the Apostle Paul is saying he's not there yet, you and me aren't even close. The Apostle Paul, right? Not that I have already obtained it or I've already become perfect. And that word for perfect means mature. I got off on this a couple of years ago. You know, we should never really say that's a mature Christian. No, what we should be saying is that's a maturing Christian. It's a process until we see Jesus face to face. So if anybody ever tells you, well, you're such a mature Christian. No. I'm a maturing Christian. I'm still wanting to grow. That's the word that Paul's using. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love that. But here's what I love more. Verse 15. He then says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, maturing, have this attitude. Here's why. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Believe it or not, I can be wrong. I know it shocks you, but I can be wrong. There are things where Brother Robert could be wrong. You could be wrong. All of us. If we are so arrogant and think so much of ourselves and we're so spiritual and we're our mature, we're not able to hear when God is trying to go, no, 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 you're missing it. You're missing it. We've got to stay humble. And if the Apostle Paul is saying that, how much more should you and me be saying that? So we've got to stay humble. That's why, again, relying on the Holy Spirit. I don't know it. I'm never going to know it all. And so we're thinking this way. And this has to do with everything in church life, by the way. Whenever I'm talking to a church about committee life and search committees and all this kind of things, and I'll say to them, listen, this is why you don't have to promote yourself. If you're in a committee and there's something coming up that this committee is responsible for and you think you've got the deal, you don't have to push it on everybody and force your hand and throw a tantrum. Well, if y'all don't do it my way, if it's the right way and you're humble about it and your idea is the right way, God will let the others know. And if it's not, if you're teachable, he'll let you know. Shut your mouth. You're wrong. But we can't do that if we're full of ourselves. I love that about this statement about the Apostle Paul. There's another thing. I'm off notes now, Stephen. Sorry, here we go. There's another thing I love about the Apostle Paul that we read progressively through his letters, where early on in Paul's Christian life, he makes the statement, I'm the least of the apostles. That's still a pretty elite group. A few years later, Paul, writing one of his other letters, says, I'm the least of all the saints. Wow, that's some growth. It's a lot bigger group. A couple of years later, Paul writes and says, I am the foremost of sinners. That's humility. That's humility. Folks, we need to stay humble and we need to stay teachable if we're going to be able to hear when God is speaking to us and his word is going to be able to take root in our lives. Are you listening to him? Are you paying attention? Do you know what he's been saying to you? Hey, listen, I firmly believe if you're here tonight and you've not been saved, I believe God's been saying to you, I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. Would you just surrender your life to me? When Ray Harden told me that on that Wednesday night, I said, oh, Ray, this is fantastic. I said, listen, brother, now talk about baptism. And he kind of, you know, and I said, hey, you'll come down next Sunday and, you know, and let me present. He said, oh, I don't think I could do that. I said, Ray, the church is going to be excited. Oh, I just don't know if I'd do that. I said, okay, Ray, well, would you do this? Would you tell your men's Sunday school class? He said, I think I'd do that. So I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting anything else. I think there was embarrassment. I think there was the idea that Ray thinking, I've been in this church for 40, 50 years, and I've been here every service we've ever had, and now I'm going to walk down the aisle and say, I just got saved. Heck, I get it. You know, I'm a male person. Well, I have pride, right? Next Sunday, invitation comes down front. Here comes Ray Harden. He said he told his men's Sunday school class that morning, and he was convinced and convicted he needed to come. And folks, you should have seen it. When I announced to the church why Ray was coming, the place exploded. It was phenomenal. People cheering and just so listen, if you've been sitting in a pew for years and years and years and you're worried about what people are going to think, I'll tell you what they're going to think. They're going to think, hallelujah. We are so happy. Are you listening to God speak to you? Now, maybe God's been speaking to you in some other way. Hey, folks, it can be simple. It can be as simple as signing up to help clean up the next couple of days during lunch. Whatever God's speaking, we've got to have a heart of good soil to take the good seed in, to be able to grow, to move into places of humility and service and obedience and following the Lord and serving the Lord. And as we sang the song, I think, this morning, shouting about the Lord. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again for the opportunity to be among these wonderful people this evening and to share your word. Father, this parable that Jesus taught explains every one of us in this room. We're in one of these categories. There's no denying that. How I pray, Father, how I pray that we are all moving toward being good soil, where the seed can be implanted in us and grow in us. I pray right now, Lord, for that person that's maybe it's their heart's been among the rocks and the littlest thing causes it to be stolen away. Maybe the church has just been what you do because it's what you're supposed to do and it's never got in. Maybe it's because there's so many pressures of life that it's been choked out. Father, how I pray tonight they would put all that aside and allow you to truly transform their life. So I pray if there's someone here tonight that needs to completely surrender for the first time, really surrender their heart to Jesus, Lord, I pray you'd give them the courage to come down. See, Brother Robert, again, as I said this morning, all they have to say is, I need Jesus. And this church will rejoice with them, as heaven will rejoice as well. Now, Lord, maybe it's just some disobedience. Someone needs to get worked out with you. God, our desire is that you do in us what we need to have done and what only you can do. So do that during this time, Father, I pray, and trust you for it and thank you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Let's stand together as Charles leads us in this hymn. Charles and Bonnie lead us. Your pastor's here waiting for you. You need to come tonight. You come.
Alas, indeed, my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred end for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it that I had done, he groaned upon the tree. Amazing beauty and grace alone, and love beyond degree. We're at the cross, where I first receive my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
I am grateful that Brother Walter brought this message out of this passage tonight. Some of you may remember that last Sunday evening I addressed the issue of examining ourselves. And the Lord takes seriously when His children are honest with themselves and authentic. And we allow the Word to penetrate us. And He responds with peace and forgiveness, conviction. He brings us to the place where we walk in obedience to Him. Those are hard words in this day and time. Repent, trust, surrender. But those are necessary words. When our hearts hear God's love speak into our lives, we should rejoice and respond accordingly. I pray that tonight, this morning, you'll let that work on you. And then we bring folks with us tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, and see what the Lord does in our midst with the truth of the Word. Let's pray. Father, You are good. You do good. Your loving kindness endures forever. And Lord, You call Your people to walk in a holiness. The Apostle Paul says, let's walk in a manner worthy of the gospel to which You've been called. While the gospel message brings us peace, Father, we know also it brings an expectation from Your holy heart. You want Your children to look like You and to sound like You, to think like You. And Lord, we can't do that without You. Can't do that without Your truth. We can't do that without Your Spirit. And Father, we thank You for the provision that You make for those who have trusted You. And we pray, Father, You help us to share that good word with others around us. Help us not to be stingy with Your goodness. Father God, as You impress upon our hearts those that we should be asking and bringing with us over the next few days, we pray You continue speak to our hearts and help us, Father, have ears to hear, that You might be exalted through our response. And these things we pray to Your glory in the marvelous and wonderful name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. God bless.
Thank you. We're going to close together tonight by singing, Lord, send a great revival in my soul. Let's let this be our prayer as we leave tonight.
Coming now to Thee, O Christ, my Lord, trusting only in Thy precious Word. Let my humble prayer to Thee be heard, and send a great revival in my soul. Send a great revival in my soul. Send a great revival in my soul, and let the Holy Spirit come and take control, and send a great revival in my soul.
God bless you. See you tomorrow. Good night.